In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We heard, brothers and sisters, St. Paul speak to us about how there will be glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, that which is right, that which is acceptable, both to the Jew and to the Gentile. Because the Gentile is given the conscience, the Jew is given the law. And of course, he says this also applies to the Christian who has received the gospel. The gospel is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that raises the law, that elevates the conscience, that brings us to this high standard of eternal truth, eternal reality. And it's this standard by which all of us will be judged in Christ. And yet judgment for us, although it is something that we fear, it's something that we prepare for. And by co-working with God, we escape judgment and we enter into life, that reality that God has created us for. We enter into his kingdom. So there is no judgment to the one who follows the Lord and keeps his commandments and walks in his ways. We have life instead. And in these two, those who fall under judgment and those who enter into life, we see two destinies for us. Destiny is something that's really misunderstood. There's even today this idea of determinism. Who's heard of that word, determinism? Some of you have, some of you haven't. I'll give you a definition. Determinism is the doctrine that all events, including human action, are ultimately determined by causes external to the will. Some philosophers have taken determinism to imply that individual human beings have no free will, therefore cannot be held morally responsible for their actions. I agree. Whoa. What a preposterous idea. That we have no free will, and that because we have no free will, we cannot be held morally accountable. This is based upon a larger ideology of materialism. The idea that the only thing that exists is that which is material, that which we can hold with our hands, that we can touch, we can see, we can taste, smell. The idea that the only thing in creation is this physical world, and there's nothing beyond it. And in this physical world, everything happens by cause and effect. Think about cause and effect. You push on something and it moves. Everything is bound by these laws of nature that science can observe. This law of cause and effect, these laws of nature, can predict what's going to happen. The future, it is said, is determined completely by preceding events, a combination of prior states of the universe and the laws of nature. So, for instance, you take some yeast, you take some water, you take some flour, take some sauce and some cheese, and you mush it all together and you stick it in the oven, what do you have?
Pizza.
Well, ideally you would get a pizza, but you'd actually just get a whole clump of junk. Right? This process is governed by cause and effect. What you put in, you get out. Human behavior sometimes is cause and effect too. You walk up to the stove and it's on, the burner's on, you put your hand on it, what do? Immediately, you try to remove your hand, right? You don't even have to think about it. It just happens. Immediate cause and effect. Now, is all of human life that way? Where you don't even think about things? I'll ask you a question. What do you want to have for lunch today? Is that cause and effect? Well, maybe you drove by a billboard, saw a McDonald's advertisement, you want McDonald's. That's an influence on you. But now you're thinking in your mind, well, I saw last night a commercial on TV for the Olive Garden, and I want to go there instead. There's a deliberation that takes place in the mind. We think about things. And we make decisions. We exercise our free will. And it's this free will that actually makes man, man. Without this free will, we are simply robots. We're simply bags of chemicals that function based upon mathematical formula, and our destiny is predetermined. Think about that Disney character, Pinocchio. All the children, I'm sure, know Pinocchio. He was a puppet. But Pinocchio wanted to be a real boy, didn't he? It was the conscience that was going to make Pinocchio into a real person. Without the conscience, Pinocchio is simply being pulled by strings. And if you will, he serves as a great illustration of what man is under the model of determinism. Because man is simply tied to the strings of nature. He's got genetic composition. There's biology there. There's chemistry there. Physics there. And then he's also pulled by the other strings of nurture. There's an environment, ideologies, different types of philosophy, even religion. All of these things act upon man, and he's then pulled on these strings of nature and nurture. But he's not really man because he's not free. He's just doing what it is he has to do because of nature and nurture. In this sense, man is not truly man. He's simply a puppet. But the church teaches that man is a person given free will, autonomy, the ability to choose his or her own course, to make moral decisions, to form a character, and ultimately to choose our final destiny. We get to choose who we want to become, not just for now, but for all of eternity. We get to choose either judgment or life. And the church teaches that man is not just a body, but man has this soul, and the soul functions through the body. The soul has a mind, heart, and a will. And this mind, the heart, and the will function through the body and interact with society, with the world, with each other. When we think about our own selves, what is the model that we accept? Is it the model of materialism, determinism, or is it the model of being made in the image and the likeness of God that the church gives us to understand? I think, brothers and sisters, the answer, obviously, is intellectually we accept the church's teaching. The question for us, though, isn't so much what do we ascend to mentally, but how do we live our life? Right? Pinocchio was told, let your conscience be your guide, but if his conscience wasn't his guide, he was living falsely, and his nose got longer, right? When he began to live truly, his nose came back into place. And the wood became flesh, and he became a real human being, a real boy, by the way he lived his life. Today in the Gospel, we heard of the call of the disciples, and it's from the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear a little bit more. St. Luke says that this call took place on the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord stepped into their boats and said, put off a little bit into the deep. And let down your nets for a catch. So they let down their nets for a catch, and then all of these fish swim into the net. And they can't even bring it aboard. They call their friends and try to help them bring it aboard. And they see this miracle, and then the disciples leave everything and they follow the Lord. Well, I ask you this question. What was it that made those fish swim into the net? Was it determinism? No, fish actually would probably try to swim away from the net, right? Away from the hook. You have to bait them in somehow. Or, if you're God, you command them. You exercise your divine free will. And that's exactly what happened. Something which is unexplainable by science, by studying the physical components of the universe, happened. Something else happens. When the disciples saw it, what did they do? they left their nets, their family, and they went and they followed the Lord. Who would do that if we're governed by survival of the fittest? The law of nature, the law of the jungle. Who would leave their source of livelihood, their food, to walk off and follow someone whom they don't even really know yet? But they did it because they were gifted by God with a free will. They were not subject to determinism. And they acted upon their free will. And for this, the Lord tells the disciples, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, that next age, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Why would they be given this privilege of judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Will they delight in that, pronouncing condemnation on some and letting others enter into life? Does God delight in that? The judgment is simply the standard, the laws that underpin the universe. It's that which judges all of us. What the disciples showed forth is that we can actually fulfill those laws. We can follow the dictates of the conscience. We can keep the law of God. We can ascend to the gospel. It is possible to cooperate using our free will with God and to become who we're meant to be. It's by putting into practice those doctrines that we all assent to intellectually that they became holy. And by showing us that it's possible, they call us to that standard. The saints have become Christ-like, who is the perfect man. You look at the lives of the saints, you see not only that they kept the Lord's teaching and they shared his teaching with the world, but they also performed the works of the Lord. I mentioned just a moment ago the calling of the fish into the net so the Lord could call the disciples. He performed the miracle. He did what was beyond the laws of nature. And this is actually what we see in the lives of the saints. We see the lives of the saints filled with miracles. They were able to go beyond the determinism of materialism. The spiritual infused their lives, and that spiritual infusion was God himself and his grace. It changed them and it changed the world. On this particular Sunday, where we commemorate the saints in every local place, in America, we're commemorating the North American saints. In Greece, saints of Greece, etc., etc. Throughout all the world, they commemorate the saints in their local places. Why? Because those saints show us, who are in these local places, that we too can ascend to this. It is possible. Like the disciples will judge the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews, so the saints will judge us by ascending to that height to which we're called to ascend. And we have to always examine our lives to see if they correspond to the gospel, see if we're living in this way. You know, when we make that self-examination, we should be wise not to do it just with what's in our minds. Because then, yes, of course, we believe everything the saints do. We should do it by looking at the way we live our lives. Are we actually putting into practice these life-transfiguring commandments? Are we living by this faith? Or have we become simply products of our day and age? Are we like Pinocchio, where fallen nature is dictating to us what we're going to do, and our nurture, the culture, is going to tell us how we're going to live our lives? If we examine every aspect of our lives, we should start to see that indeed, we're actually looking different than the rest who are non-believers. We should see a difference, not just in our doctrines, but in our way of life. Do we see that? Or largely when we go home, are we living our lives just like our neighbor in the next house? who maybe has given over to this determinism. This is just the way life is in this fallen world. This is just how it is in 21st century America. I can't be better than this. Sometimes we have those same strings on us too. And we don't really live by the conscience, by the law, by the gospel. Brothers and sisters, today as the church gives us that call of the first Christians, and we contemplate their decision, we're given once again that opportunity to follow the Lord, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, in our will, indeed. It's a wonderful opportunity to cut those strings, to become truly human, to move from judgment to life. We actually become like the disciples who follow that call, and we become fishers of men. We call others to do this too. The saints call us to ascend with them, to be with Christ. Let us choose it indeed, brothers and sisters, to be with the Lord God in his heavenly kingdom, not just with this small group here, but with all those who are going to be called through us to share in that same kingdom, to have that same destiny, all by our choice and their choice, which God has freely given to us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.